You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. You know, we started teaching on authority, and then from authority we went to the name of Jesus. So we're kind of on the name of Jesus right now. And I don't know how long we'll be on that. I may wrap it up tonight, may go a few more services on that. It's just been rich, been good. Anytime you teach on authority, which we start out with Adam's fall and how he handed over authority to the devil and how that's what's wrong with the world. I mean, that's why the world's so messed up. Not because of God, but because of sin. And then Jesus came and restored our authority, you know, and to pray and to believe and make a difference. And then one day, hallelujah, it'll all be taken back. I mean, one day Jesus will come back and the whole thing will be turned back over to God. And then we won't have a problem then at all. God will be all in all, the Bible says. In fact, Jesus will deliver up everything to the Father after what we call the thousand-year reign of Christ. That takes place in Revelation chapter 20. At the end of that, there's a great white throne judgment, and Jesus turns everything over to the Father. And there's a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. Everybody say renewed.
Renewed.
Renewed. It's not. It doesn't cease to exist, and God makes another one. He actually renews this one. And where there's no sin in it, there's nothing that hurts or harms in it. And Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22 talk about that. That's coming. But we're still in the interim now. We're still waiting now, our waiting period. And right now, there's a mixture of authority, as it were. We have authority through Jesus Christ as Christians to pray and believe God and make a difference. But the world still is under the authority of, there's man still in authority, but he's heavily influenced, and the spirit of the world still works in him. And so that's why we see so much evil and so much destruction and so much disparity in judgment. In other words, there doesn't seem to be a fair justice going in the world. You have people that are hurting that are innocent. You have people in the world that are getting blessed that are not all that good. Are you with me? But that's not God being unfair. That disparity comes from sin and men and women that are in sin. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And that's why we need to exercise the authority that God's given us. So having said all that, we go into the name of Jesus that he gave to us, the church, to use. And we talked about, you know, what our work was, what our job was, to advance the kingdom, to pray for people, to lay hands on the sick, to lead people to the Lord, to ask in his name. Prayer. Prayer is all wrapped up around the name of Jesus. That's our right. That's our legal entrance into heaven is through the name of Jesus. And this is something you see all through the scripture. So in the book of Acts, I just want to go through some scriptures here in the book of Acts and talk about the name, you know. And why is that so important? What that old song, what's it all about, Alfie? You know, I just lost about half the church. Yeah. But, you know, what is it all about? You know, what's the point? I mean, these abstract teachings on prayer and confession and the name of Jesus. Well, it's not all that abstract. It's very concrete. It's just very practical. This affects your life. Yeah. This affects your daily living. It'll affect your job. It'll affect your state of mind, your body, whether you're healed or not, whether you make it financially or not. Can be determined and hinge on what you know about the name of Jesus. First of all, think about this. You know, we think that we just do whatever we want to and nobody really rules us. We're Americans and so on and so forth. But that's really not true. We are authorized in this country to do a lot of things. So we've been given permission and we've been given authorization in this country to do a lot of things. Just to go buy property. Come on, you can't do that in every country. But you can do it in this country. You know, just to walk around, have a service here, have church here. We come in here, we have church and you know, you say, well, I'm free, I can do that. Well, yeah, that's true, but you know, there's a document called a Constitution and the Bill of Rights that gives us these rights, that permits us and authorizes us to do this. So our whole life is determined by authority and permission. Hello? You say, well, that's my car, I'll drive any way I want to. No, you won't. There's laws concerning cars. You have to drive on one side of the road in a certain speed and stop at certain signs. And you know, you violate that, they'll lock you up.
That's right. Yeah.
So you are free, but nobody's free in the sense that you're free from authority or free from permission, and you don't want to be. True freedom has limits. It has laws. You have to have laws. You have to have rules because I can't be free to throw my fist anywhere I want to. My freedom to throw my fist must be determined or limited to the proximity of someone's face. Because they have a right to have their face not hit by my fist. Isn't that true? I mean, come on. I'm free to throw my fist around all I want to. But when I connect with somebody's face, I've stepped over my authority. I don't have permission to go around hitting people in the face. Are you out there? Well, how do we know? I mean, how do we know what I can do? I mean, when something goes wrong, we call the police. This is not right. Something's gone wrong here. And the police come out and we go to court and, you know, people wonder if they've been violated, their property or their rights or so on. We have laws and we have authority. We have systems in place that says what we're free to do or we're not free to do. To operate here, you must have authority. You have to have a license to drive a car. You have to drive by the rules you're going to drive the car. If you live in this country, there are certain rights you have and there are certain limitations you have. And that's okay. That's fine. It has to be that way. Hello. So when we talk about the name of Jesus is the authority that God has given us. Okay. And the rights and privileges He has given us concerning the kingdom of God and the things of God. What can I do as a Christian? What can I pray for? Hello. What is it that I can really believe God for? Can I really believe God for this? Does the name of Jesus cover that? I mean, you know, did He say, and we go through the book of Acts, we can see this, did He say here if they use that name for this or for that or for, you know, what's the name for? It informs me, it tells me what I have the right to. And a lot of times, I think sometimes people are just uninformed, terribly uninformed. You know, they don't. I mean, it'd be like living in our country not knowing you had certain rights and certain privileges. And you'd be a little intimidated to even ask. Because, you know, hey, it may not be, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to be able to drive a car. I don't know. You know, maybe the government doesn't want me to drive a car. Oh, yeah, all I got to do is get a license. Go down and get your license. Yeah, but I don't know. You know, it may not be the will of the government. Hello? Well, I just don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to walk around outside my yard. Is that okay? I kind of feel, I don't know, you know, it may not be, I know it's my yard, but can I, in the United States of America, can I walk around in my yard? Can I do that? You do. You can do that. That's okay. You know, you need to read the Constitution. You need to read your bylaws. You need to talk to police and find out. You seem like you're very unaware of what the will of the government is. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. Are y'all with me? But see how crazy that would be and how adamant we would be in trying to help someone like that. And say, look, whoa, wait a minute. Now, you don't know. I understand you being nice and sweet and humble and respect for the government. We honor the government. We thank God for this country. But this country has already told us we could do this. This country has already stated what we can and cannot do in many cases. In all these cases you're discussing and talking about here, rules have been made already. Okay, you're free to do that. You've been authorized to do that. Because you're a citizen of the United States of America. Okay. But when it comes to Christianity, it's amazing to me. We'll go, well, I just, you know, I mean, I know I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus. I know Jesus died for my sins and rose again. But I don't know if I could ask God. I don't know if, you know, who knows? I don't know if God really wants me to have this. Well, maybe you need to read your Constitution.
That's right.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Maybe you need to know some things about the name of Jesus. That's why we teach. Amen? So we can understand what that name's about and why it's so important to use it when we pray. Because if you're getting your theology from Hollywood, you're going to get all messed up, okay? Because in Hollywood, when they bless the food, they never say in Jesus' name. They just say amen. No, really. Y'all watch them. They'll say amen. It's a nice prayer and it's good and it's wonderful. I love it, you know. You know, bless this food and bless this day and God's great. God is good. Lord, we thank you for this food. Amen. And you think, well, that's good. At least they do that. Some, you know, but they don't ever say in Jesus' name. I remember when I was chaplain of the day at the Betty got me to come down and be chaplain of the day, open up the legislature. Can't remember the exact day or the year. 2009, is that right? That sound about right? 2003? It's been a while. I don't know. It's a long time ago. Well, anyway, they open up in prayer. Texas State Legislature opens up in prayer. And they have a chaplain of the day, or pastor of the day, they call it. And they give them a certificate, pastor of the day. And they actually put your prayer in the archives. You know, it has to be typed up and everything. That was a chore for me to type up a prayer because I'm off the cuff, you know, everything I do. But I remember, and Dan introduced me, because I'm actually from Dan Flynn's district, Representative Dan Flynn district. And no, I take that back. Betty, Dan let you introduce me, because I was going as somebody from his district, but of course I'm Betty's pastor.
And,
right, he was up there. And I remember Dan and I were talking beforehand. He said, boy, we had one guy come up here, and he said, Jesus this, and Jesus. And he said, boy, people got upset. And I said, well, they're going to get upset again. So I prayed a real sweet prayer, and I ended it like I ended all my prayers. I said, in the matchless name of Jesus, and I hung on it, you know, in the matchless name of Jesus, amen. Because really, that's our only right to pray. That's our only entrance into heaven. We're not about being inclusive, okay, as far as salvation is concerned, as far as the doctrine of salvation is concerned, as far as what Jesus said. I'm not interested in being inclusive of Muslims, stay with me, Buddhist. I don't hate Buddhists. I don't hate Muslims. I'm inclusive in loving them and praying for them and living with them. I'm inclusive there. But we can't be inclusive with our doctrine. Truth, isn't it?
That's right.
And the Bible talks about the name. The name's the name we pray in. Okay, Acts 2. Y'all found it? Man, I spent a lot of time building up on this one. Acts 7, second chapter, of course, is where Pentecost, where the Holy Ghost fell, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. And that didn't mean they cleaned up their language. That actually was another language. I've heard people say they'll speak with new tongues, it says in Mark 16 chapter. That means you quit cussing. Well, you ought to quit cussing. I'm all for that. But when it says new tongues, it's talking about another language. Are you with me? And it says they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, 120 of them. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then people thought they were drunk because they were under the power and influence of the Spirit. And I'm sure they were reeling and rocking because the Holy Ghost was on them. And they accused them of being drunk. And Peter said, these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. He says, but this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Old men see dreams. I'm still seeing visions. But anyway, that went right over again. And then he goes down to the 21st verse. He says this. Well, back up. 21st verse says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo! Hallelujah. So now we see here, let's just talk about our rights to become a Christian, our entrance into the kingdom of God, the family of God. Well, here it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calls upon the name of the Lord. His name is?
Jesus.
Jesus is not a magic word. It's not like a magic potion or a fetish that you can just use it and anything will happen. It's not magic, but it represents Him. And so when we call on the name of the Lord, we're calling on Him. That's what we need to understand here. We're not just, you know, using it like a magic spell or something, you know. But whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus, call on Jesus shall be saved. This is exactly what Romans 10:13 says. Paul said the same thing. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In John, the Gospel of John, first chapter, the 12th verse, says, 11th verse says, he came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority or right to become the children of God, who were born not of the will of flesh or of man, not a man birth, not a flesh birth, not of the will of man, but of the will of God or of God, even to those who believe on His name. That's good, isn't it? So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here, and then of course Romans 10:13, and then in John 12. So we can see here quickly, when you're talking about the name of Jesus, you know, what's the big deal? Well, we're saved by calling on that name. That's a pretty big deal. And that we know there's no other name given among men. Acts 4, verse 12. In fact, just turn there real quick. Look at Acts 4, 12. We'll stay in Acts. Acts 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name. Because he just got through talking about how he healed this man in Jesus' name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Woo! Saved, salvation, there it is again. So we're saved in that name. When you talk about the name, you know, what does it entail? Well, obviously, it entails being saved, that's for sure. We didn't call on Buddha, we called on Jesus. Amen? And it wouldn't matter if you called on Buddha anyway, it wouldn't help you. But Jesus will help you. So that gives us a certain authority. It gives us a certain privilege. It gives us a right. To as many as called, received Him, them gave He the power, the right, the authority to become the children of God. Hallelujah. So I'm a child of God by that. I mean, I could go to the Constitution, go to the bylaws. I could dig up some paperwork here that would authorize me. I can dig up some deeds that will show you that I own the property that I live on, you know, where our house is. I could pull my driver's license out and show you on paper here, you know, where I have a right to drive down this road. Well, the name of Jesus gives me the right to go to heaven. That's my authority, see. And our whole life is based on authority and permission and the ability to prove it. Because sometimes we are challenged to prove it. Sometimes we're challenged to bring up our birth certificate. Just saying. Sometimes. And then you have to prove it. You have to bring it out and prove it. See? And so how do we know? Well, Jesus. I call on Jesus. Hallelujah. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're living in the last days. We've got to be living in the last of the last. If Peter said last 2,000 years ago, this has got to be the lastest of the last. Amen?
Amen?
So there's salvation in that name. Then, well, look at Acts 2:38. You're right there in the second chapter. He's still preaching. And here he's saying, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm not teaching on the Holy Ghost. But thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for speaking in other tongues. Thank God for the power of God that comes on us when we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. But here he's saying that, you know, they're wondering what to do. And he said, repent. Repent of your sins. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. This is a pattern you see all through the Scripture. If you go through the book of Acts, you'll find they baptize them in the name of Jesus. So when you talk about the name, well, we're saved by calling on it. We're baptized. You know, I baptize people in the name of Jesus. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and I do it under the authority invested in Jesus' name. You know, so that's how we do this thing. That's how we roll as Christians, as believers. It's not about International Outreach Church in one sense. In another sense, yes, it is about fellowship. It is about getting together. It is about joining together and as a group pooling our gifts and our talents and our prayers and our faith and our finances and making a difference and all that. But ultimately, it comes down to this. The name that outshines them all is the name Jesus, not International Outreach Church. Not Baptist, not Methodist, not Catholic. Hello, are you with? Not Church of Christ. Thank God for all these churches, this one included. But what joins us, what makes us one, what saves us, is that name. And we're not baptized in the name of International Outreach Church, or Baptist, or Methodist, or Church of Christ, or Assembly of God, or Catholic, or Lutheran, or, you know, I'm going on and on. We're baptized in the name. This is what we're called by. This is our legal status and standing. We are Jesus' people. It's all about Jesus.
Right.
He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Amen? And so what we preach is, we preach Him. You know, you say, well, we preach the new birth, we preach healing, we preach baptism, the Holy Ghost. No, we preach Jesus, the healer. The one who we baptize in His name. The one who saved us. The one who fills us baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Peace, He is the peace giver. Life, He is the life giver. So we preach Him, His name. Woo! Amen. Good stuff. So we're saved by calling that name. We baptize in that name. And in the third chapter, notice this, in the third chapter, the just jump to 6th verse, because we've gone over some of these, and I don't want to spend time reviewing, because, my, it's so good. Right now, I'm just kind of hitting high spots. You know how you get a ice cream cone and you just hit the high spot? Okay. We don't want to dig in here too fast. We'll get a brain freeze. But anyway, notice what Peter said. Peter and John, you know, they came across this lame man and asking alms, and he said this in the 6th verse, the 3rd chapter. He said, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk.'"
Amen.
And the man was healed.
Yeah.
The man was healed. Now, what we see from that is that there's healing in the name of Jesus. We know there's salvation in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is how we baptize people. And now we see there's healing and miracles in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. Now, because when you think about it here, we often wonder, well, you know, what about miracles? And I don't know. I don't know, should I be asking God for healing or a miracle or I don't know. You know, I hate to, I don't bother them, or, you know, I just don't feel like, you know, I'm worthy. I mean, should I? I mean, can I do that? Or, yeah, you've got the authority. You've been authorized. You've got the authority. You've got the name of Jesus. Haven't you read your Bible lately? I mean, it's in there. In Jesus' name, they healed the sick. That's why they healed them. They healed them that way. The holy apostles that we often elevate beyond what they were supposed to be elevated, and the ones we revere and honor beyond what we're supposed to revere and honor them, we should honor, but we've got them almost like demigods. We have God, Jesus, and the holy apostles, and then there's a common people like us. But the apostles were just people like we're people who use the name like we can use the name.
That's right.
They were citizens of heaven like we're citizens of heaven. Well, I saw Tommy walk around his front yard. I'd sure like to walk around my front yard. I mean, I got a yard and I got a house and everything, and I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and Tommy is too, but Tommy, boy, he's special. I see him walking around in his yard all the time. I wish I had the right to walk around in my yard. Well, you do. Have you never read the Constitution and the bylaws? You're free to walk around in your front yard in this country. Hallelujah. Tommy's not special. He is special, don't get me wrong. We're all special. But Tommy's a citizen like I'm a citizen. He can walk in his front yard. I can walk in my front yard. Y'all catching what I'm talking about? See, I think what's happened here is real simple. We have not taught the things concerning the name of Jesus. We really hadn't done that. See, Philip did that in the book of Acts, 8th chapter. It says he did that. But since we don't understand that, we start to pray and we start checking out our account. Well, man, am I worthy? Am I good enough? Have I been good? I don't know. I have to ask Santa Claus. He's the one who got the list, checking it twice. Seeing who's naughty or nice. He knows when I'm sleeping, knows when I'm awake. We relegated that to a heavyset man in a red suit who lives in the North Pole. And really, it's Jesus that knows all about us. And you know something else? Jesus still loves us.
That's right.
And forgives us. Hallelujah. He's not, every time we pray, checking an account here and says, well, no, I don't. You haven't been that good a boy this week. You're not going to get that. I believe in living holy. Now, I'm not teaching on that right now. Y'all stay with me. You know, you've heard me teach. I believe in living right and repenting and so on. I believe your faith is going to be affected by the way you live and so on and so forth. I understand all that. But I'm not getting my prayer answered because I'm a good boy.
That's right.
And this guy down the street doesn't know Jesus. He's not going to hell because he's a bad boy. He's going to hell because he doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And I'm going to heaven because I do know Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And that has affected my life, and I do live different than I used to live. But I'm still not good enough.
Amen.
In the natural. To get anything. Are you kidding? To get anything from God. To get any prayer answered. Hello. Okay, all right. All right, Tommy's walking around in his front yard. Let's go back to the front yard, all right? Tommy's walking around his front yard. I'm stuck in the house looking out the window like a kid. I want to go play. I'm looking at Tommy. I'm just pacing, going one way to the other, watching Tommy walk around that front yard. Man, I wish I was as good as Tommy. Tommy must be a good boy. He must be so holy. Look at him walking around out there. Man, I wish I was that good. You know why he's walking around the front yard? Because he has a right to walk around that front yard. Y'all out there. This is not a license to sin. Don't you twist what I'm saying. I am saying that we use that, and the devil uses that, and he beats us on the head every time we pray, because there's always something that'll keep you from getting your prayers answered. There's always some flaw in your personality, your character, something you're working on, some sin you're having to work on and overcome, and God forbid you don't. You need to work on it. But I can think of all kinds of reasons why I can't get my prayers answered. Just an attitude, a thought today, something that, oh, that was wrong. But you know what? Man, I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I think of those things, I'm just going to repent of them and go on. I can't change them. Are you with me? That they happened. I'm going to go forward with this thing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to work on this thing, no question about it. I'm not excusing that sin. I'm not saying that. But I am not standing here in my righteousness. I'm standing here in His righteousness. Hallelujah. And I'm not coming in my name. I'm coming in His name. He paid a price so that I could walk around in my front yard. And I'm going to be in the front yard. He paid a price so you could be healed. He paid a price so you could be saved. He paid a price so you could have a sound mind, so you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be. You don't have to live with that. You don't. You don't have to.
Right. Amen.
You can be. You can have peace. You can have a sound mind. He's given us a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But see, we need to understand some of the things concerning the name of Jesus. Just hadn't been taught, you know. Of course, in this church we teach it. But a lot of times we're so wrapped up in our own ability, our own righteousness, not His. Our own merits, not His. Our own achievements, not His achievements. Are you with me? See, righteousness is real simple. I never heard any better definition of this in my mind. I think it was E.W. Kenyon that said it. It says, righteousness is the ability to stand in God's presence without any sense of fear, inferiority, or guilt.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Now, I believe that.
Yeah.
I have to work on it, but I do believe that.
Yes. Yeah.
I believe that God has made me righteous. In fact, I don't have my righteousness. I have His righteousness. But there's that inferiority that comes when we talk about God.
Yeah.
That intimidation that comes when we talk about God. And our concept of God, a lot of times, is just like a judge. He's just a judge, or maybe, you know, He's waiting for us to mess up. And He's waiting for us to toe the line. And we don't see Him as love. We don't see Him as forgiveness. He is forgiver. We don't see Him as actually wanting us to make it, looking for us to fail. No, wanting us to make it. Wanting us to make it, see? And we don't see that. We have the wrong concept of that. And yet Jesus came and showed us that and died on the cross for it. Hallelujah. Are you out there?
Praise God.
Okay, so we have here a healing that took place. And we know it took place because of the name of Jesus. 3rd chapter, 16th verse is, 16th verse. And His name, Jesus, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong. Whom you see and know, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now He was responding to them running. Well, He was responding to them looking at Him as if He had done that miracle because He was so holy. That's what it says. He said, why look ye on us as if by our own holiness or power we have done this? Well, see, Peter was perfect. Oh, really? You hadn't read Galatians then, have you? Paul rebuked him to his face because he had a little bit of racism in him. A little racism. Yeah. Yeah. A little prejudice, put it that way. Paul rebuked him to his face because he withdrew himself from some Gentiles because his Jewish buddies showed up and he'd been hanging out with these Gentiles that had gotten saved. And when his Jewish buddies showed up, he said, "Oh man, I don't want to do that. They're not going to appreciate that. I won't hang around these guys." And Paul comes up. Man, I don't know if we could handle Paul really, but Paul shows up and rebukes him to his face. I'd like to have seen that encounter. And basically tells him, he says, "Who do you think you are? You've been saved by the blood and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like these. And you act as if you didn't.
That's right.
You act as if you're going to heaven because you're a Jew." I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he really was saying to him.
Yeah.
"You act as if you're better than they are, and that's why you're going to heaven. And you know, and I know, and we all know, that no man's going to heaven because they're good or because they're a Jew or because they kept the law, but they're going to heaven because they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just like these did. How dare you do that?"
That's right.
And Peter took it. From all intents and purposes. We see here, Peter never responded back to him about it either. He knew he was right. But there again, it's kind of what we're talking about here. You know, Peter kind of slipped off into that. You know, maybe it was because we're Jews. That's why we're going to heaven. No, he's going to heaven because he was saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and called on the name of Jesus. And he just as much as said that when he healed that man in Acts 3. He said, "Why look on us as if by our own power of holiness we made this man strong," which you see and know here. "Be it known to you and all Israel that by the name of Jesus this man stands. Yea, the faith in him and the faith which comes by him hath made this man whole." Woo!
Amen.
Good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to eighth chapter. Let's just skip over some things here. I quoted this. I talked about this. Let's just look at it. In the eighth chapter, Philip, of course, goes to Samaria. He preaches. The Bible says he preached Christ to them, just in a general way. And it says many sick of the palsies were healed, many lame were healed. I always thought that was fascinating. You ever think about that? That, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about gifts, plural, of healing. 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10 lists the nine, what we call the nine gifts of the Spirit. You know, it talks about tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Talks about gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of discerning spirits. Talks about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and gift of faith. Those nine gifts. It lists them there. And seventh verse says these are given severally. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So we all profit when a gift comes, you know, in manifestation. But it's interesting. It says plural, gifts, plural, of healing. I thought that was interesting and significant. Because you know, some people, you see this even in the Bible. I'm going to bring this out in just a minute. But you see in some crusades or some evangelists or some people that minister, they seem to gravitate toward or seem to have a lot of people get healed that have skin rashes. And you go to another guy, he seemed like he has a lot of people crippled, just walk out of wheelchairs. Are you with me? It's like they have that gift of manifestation. Now, anybody can get healed of anything if we believe God. But the gifts of healing are instantaneous by the Spirit, and they're, you know, to one is given this and to another is given that. And you even see that here. You see it in evangelists and crusades. It seems like one prominent disease seemed like is healed more than not in that evangelist meeting. Are you out there? Y'all ever notice that? Are you read that or study that or watch different evangelists? I mean, you hear testimonies, a lot of people getting healed, but it seems like there's a bunch of people get healed in this one area. Brother Osteen, you pray for people. Skin rashes. Man, people get healed of skin rashes in his ministry. I don't know why. But it seemed like anybody with a rash, what he prayed for, I mean, it's almost instantaneous. It's like he had a gift of healing in rashes. I don't know why. But you say, "Well, that's the weirdest thing I ever heard." Well, you ought to read your Bible more often. Because it says right here, many sick of the palsies were healed, many lame. It didn't say all manner of diseases, like it with Jesus, all manner of diseases. It says many sick of the palsy, many lame were healed.
Right.
So I just thought that was significant. Maybe, you know, Philip went to Samaria. Philip probably moved in that gift. He probably had that gift on his life. He'd pray for anybody and probably had some results. But boy, he had an anointing and had a gift in that area. Gifts, plural, of healing. Okay. It's just a side note. You know, you might want to write that down. So anyway, He preached to them, and it says in the 12th verse, listen to this, But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 16 verse says they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. There it again is, baptism in the name. I thought it significant, if you back up here, what did Philip preach? Preach the kingdom of God. Well, that's one thing. But it says, and the things concerning the name of Jesus. That's an interesting question. Do you know, how many things do you know about the name of Jesus? I mean, come on. How many things do you know about the name of Jesus? Philip preached a sermon on it. He preached concerning the things concerning the name of Jesus. Well, what kind of things would he have preached? Well, some of the things I probably just said, that you're saved by calling on that name, that you're healed in that name, that we baptize in that name. And he did. He baptized them in the name after that. We know that. And he preached, of course, the kingdom of God. It'd be like he preached the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
That's right.
Yeah. He had a big meeting outside the U.S. on a boat, and everybody wanted to become a citizen of the United States of America, joined up, and then he preached to them the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
The kingdom of the United States of America. He preached that to them. See, that way when they walked in this country and they moved around in this country and they accessed things in this country, they would know what their rights were as citizens of this country, how to access, how to approach, how to live. Well, now we're in the kingdom of God. We're citizens of heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're in a new kingdom. Are you with me? In fact, the kingdom of God's not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're in the kingdom. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. We've got a whole new king. That's why I say it doesn't matter about the economy. I mean, we're praying for it. It does matter in a lot of ways, but to a lot of people. And we need to be praying for our government and our economic system and so on and so forth. I understand that we can't detach ourselves from it because we really do live in two worlds here. Come on now. We're in the world. We're not of it, but we are in it. We do operate in it and so on and so forth. But we need to understand we're under another economy. We're in another kingdom. Has another set of rules, and we got a whole other set of rights here and privileges. Well, what are they? Well, you have to find out what the kingdom of God's about and what the name of Jesus is about so you can operate in this kingdom and walk around in your front yard. I dare say most of us, spiritually speaking, we just been hanging around on a porch. Because we can't play with the big dogs, so we've been on the porch. They'll say, anyway, it's not. Okay, so we need to get off the porch and get around in the yard, and we didn't know we could, and now we know we can. Hallelujah, I have a right to do this. I have the name. We hadn't prayed for people to be healed because we didn't really realize, maybe so, maybe no, we don't know. Okay, say rah, whatever will be. Who knows whether God will heal or not. Well, I know, the Bible says He'll heal, and He tells me to go pray for people to be healed. Amen. That's part of being a citizen of heaven. That's part of the name Jesus. In fact, this is interesting. Colossians 3rd chapter tells us this. Go to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. You'll love this. Nothing you don't know. You'll recognize it right off the bat. This helping you?
Good.
I want to stir you. I want you to think, Hallelujah. Am I in the right chapter? Yes, I am. Colossians 3rd chapter. This is so neat. Everybody say the name.
The name.
Thank God for the name. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. I never will forget. We didn't get into it because I don't have time to get into all these scriptures. In Acts, if you go into Acts 16th chapter, you'll find out Paul casting a devil out in the name of Jesus. We have authority over devils in Jesus' name. There's healing in the name. We baptize in the name. We're saved by that calling on that name. I'm sure if you go through, you find all kinds of things. But here in Colossians, the third chapter, notice what it says. I don't know where to start. It's all so good. 15th verse is a good one. We'll just start there. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Everybody say, let the peace of God rule. Okay. Did you catch that? It's your responsibility. Man, I wish I had peace. No, he says you let it. You let it have. You let the peace of God rule. Don't you let stress take you over. Don't you let anger or depression take you over. When you feel it and you sense it coming on, you stop it. You go, no, I'm letting the peace of God rule in my heart. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called. You're called to this. You're not called to have a life of stress and a life of worry and a life of depression. That is not your plight, your cross, nor your thorn to bear. You are not Job. You're a born again believer with a brand new covenant, and you know a whole lot more than Job did. Dear Lord, I hope you know a lot more than Job did. Job was a good man, but you know, Job was ignorant he's naive about a lot of things. And evidently, if you don't believe that, you hadn't read the book of Job.
That's right.
Or you hadn't read it objectively. Because even the writer, the narrator of Job, is telling us stuff Job didn't know.
Right.
Come on. If the narrator, whoever wrote the book of Job, is telling us stuff that Job didn't know, and Job contradicts the one writing the book, what are we doing quoting Job when the writer of the book said that's wrong? And then maybe you ought to read the last chapter too there, where Job repented of everything he said. Where God said, you didn't know what you were talking about. And Job said, I didn't know what I was talking about. And maybe you ought to go read the New Testament and find out what Jesus said. There's a new concept. Okay, anyway. And kind of falls in line with this next verse, 16th verse. You ready for this one? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Man, you might say, a citizen of the United States of America, let's take it in the natural. I'm just using an allegory here, or analogy, or a parallel, or a picture. They all break down somewhere, but come on. Come on. As a citizen of the United States of America, let the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, dwell in you richly. Whoa. That would be awesome if politicians did that. I know Betty can say amen. This is the United States of America. Last time I checked, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't we have a constitution?
Yeah.
I thought we did. Didn't we form a government? There was like this Revolutionary War. I read about it somewhere. Didn't we branch off of Great Britain, King George, and all that? Isn't that a matter of history? Isn't that a matter of history?
Yeah.
So if I'm a citizen of the United States of America, there are laws and Constitution, Bill of Rights. Aren't those documents? I mean, isn't that what we founded our nation on? I know there's some amendments, but they're there for us to see and read. We can read those amendments too. Well, we've tweaked it somewhat, you know, in some areas, but it's all there. It's all recorded. It's all a matter of history. There's a document. There's somewhere we can go to. Just like when, you know, Brookshire's put something on sale, they have a sale paper. I mean, come on. They validate, you know what they're doing, and you know what your privilege is, you know what your right is when you go in Brookshire's and they got a gallon of milk on sale for $1. Woo-hoo. Don't you wish? And they have a limit of two. You know what you have authority to do when you walk in that store? To buy 2 gallons at $1 a piece. And if you lay a third one on there, don't have authority to do that. You say, well, I do what I want to. No, you don't. They'll pull that cell paper out and say, there it is. 2 gallons. It is written. And it's amazing how we stand on that. I get tickled that women will just argue with the cashier, standing there and slapping that coupon down and saying, it is written. I want my gallon of milk now. Hello? But the Bible promises us stuff. The devil comes and cheats us, lies to us, and steals it from us. And we don't. The Bible's more true than a coupon to Brookshire's. Come on. Or a cell paper at Brookshire's.
Amen.
And you'll argue tooth and nail at that counter. Don't you think Brenda won't argue with them? In love, of course. I don't even shop with Brenda. I just don't go shopping with her. She's got so many coupons. She's got so many sale papers. She stands at that counter. She slaps this down, slaps that down, slaps that down. Okay, this is this price. Here, I got this coupon for that. Okay, here's sale paper. They got on sale at Target. You have to honor that. Okay, y'all honor that. Okay, and this and this. And the people behind her are just waiting because Brenda's just slapping coupons down. She is a collector of coupons. She is a scribe and a scholar.
Yeah,
of what is written.
That's right.
And she does her homework. And you know what? She benefits from that because she knows, because she studies, she checks. Yeah. She has it dwelling in her richly. And so when she goes and shows up at a store, managers cringe when she walks
in. Wow.
We walked in Kroger's just the other day. I went in with her this time. I don't like shopping, Brenna, because she just... She's on a hunt. I mean, you know, she's dedicated. We walked in Kroger's, and they've got 2-liter Dr. Peppers for 89 cents. Well, you know Hallelujah Night's coming up. So we go in there with 2 buggies, and we pull off 80 of them off the shelf. We cleaned the shelf out. We took the very last one, with the last one on the shelf. She called ahead of time, talked to the manager a few days before, and said, you got 80 of them? Yeah, I got 80 of them. Okay, we're going to come get them. So we went in there and we loaded up 2 buggies. I mean, just stacked. We get up to the counter and the cashier's just looking at them. How did you get all those in there?
Wow.
You know, it just blew her away. You need some help unloading those? Or I'm thinking I need a lot of help, but anyway, that's not just that area. But we came out of there with 2 buggies just filled the brim. Yeah, I know it. But that's just Dr. Pepper's, okay? But she had her coupons and this lady was ringing them up. 89 cents, 89 cents, 89 cents. It was a sale.
I didn't have coupons.
No coupons, it was a sale, but that okay, whatever. See, she's got all the technical jargon down. But she knew what was written. And you know what? She does that. We do that every year. Like Hallelujah Night. You have no idea how much Brenna saves us on stuff she buys, deals she makes on hot dogs and just all kinds of stuff. Okay, last verse we'll close out. Y'all ready? I'm still here. I hadn't finished this. 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, we ought to be talking about this. We ought to sit around and talk about our constitution and our bylaws. Yeah. We ought to sit around and rejoice in them. And say, oh, man, isn't this great? Yeah, this is what Jesus did this and Jesus did that. And Jesus said, I can have this. And he said, I can have that. And he said, I can pray in his name, healing in the name, and pray, baptize in the name, and save in the name, cast out devils in the name. Woo, hallelujah. Look at here. It says it right here, chapter and verse. Carry it around with us. These are our rights. These are our privileges. The name of Jesus gives us rights and privileges. And then it says, 17 verse, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Praise God.
Wow. Well, Sunday we'll pull this out. No, no, no. Whatever you do. All week long. All day long.
Yes, yes.
Your marriage. Raising your children. Your business. Hello. Do all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God for the name. Amen.
Yeah.
And all that's entailed in the name. And all the things concerning the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.